Tara Richter joins us as well from Richter Publishing. She was on last week. We got a big authors gala coming up here, Tara, don't we?
Yes, we do.
What's that date again?
October 19th, so this upcoming Thursday.
This Thursday, and this is open to the public.
It is, yeah. Anyone can come.
And now, and you would recommend if you're an aspiring author, this is the place to be.
Absolutely, yeah. If you are writing a book or you want to write a book or you have a manuscript and you want to get it published, you definitely want to come out.
You want to come out. Now, my book, A Portion of the Eternal, which Richter Publishing acquired and has done the second edition of, is up for numerous awards.
It is.
I believe I've won two, correct?
Everybody will probably only get one. Well, not everyone, but, you know, we try to sparse them out.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I think a book should have a clean sweep one year, and this is that year.
Maybe.
Even categories my book doesn't qualify for. I want the title just to let those other authors know that I'm here.
And then you're going to slap them in their face with your book, right?
Oh, absolutely. As I walk down the author's award stage, I'm going to take a copy of my book, Spike, and just start slapping the other authors across the... Now, Ben here, and he has sent me a manuscript that he has written that he wants me to look over, and I'm going to be looking it over starting next week. But Ben, I want you to ask Tara a couple of questions. But Tara, first off, if you are attempting to write a book, you talked about the biggest mistakes people make. Tell me the one you told me last week, and then tell me another. As first time authors, what is the biggest mistakes that you see?
When people are writing, they tell and they don't show.
Which, extrapolate on that,
yeah,
please.
So basically, you don't want to write the book, so I went here, and I started my car, and I drove down the street, and then I went to this place, and then I saw this chick, and I started talking to her. You know, that's telling.
Right.
You have to show. You have to describe it like it's a scene. You right. know, so, like, a tip you could do is, like, when you're writing, is describe, like, how would you describe a movie to a blind person?
Right. And that's how you want to write.
Yeah.
Descriptive. Now, what if it is... Are there different rules for nonfiction? Because his book is a nonfiction book.
Mm-hmm.
Can I talk about this, Ben? I don't want to speak out of turn.
I don't have to. I mean, it's not done. Nobody really knows we're doing it, but it doesn't.
Well, but well then I shouldn't
that,
talk about it.
He just put
it.
You on blast.
Oh, well, no, I mean, the fact that it is an idea with
well, it's more than an idea.
Well, it's more. But the book has been written, but it hasn't been formulated because I don't know if you're familiar. It's two people telling the same story in their different perspectives. So I don't know if the show Affair on Showtime sort of takes half an hour with one person's perspective and then the other half an hour on the same
story narrative, but
of their with their perspective.
But this is nonfiction?
No.
That sounds like fiction.
No, I'm sorry. It is
nonfiction. No, it is. No, it's not.
It's a real story.
Oh. Yeah, it's a real story.
So
yeah.
It's a true story. It's just two different people's right. point of view.
They right. both live the same experience, and
okay.
they're telling it from their perspective.
Okay. So, sorry. What was the question?
What the descriptive part, I would think that if you're doing, because right now I'm in the midst of writing Lynn Austin's, the original Hooters girl, Playboy playmate, married to baseball star Darren Dalton, who just recently passed away. Mm-hmm. I'm in the midst of writing her biography. This is what I'm doing. We go out to Hooters because I can get free wings, and it's always where we
That's
meet.
The most important
and we
thing,
always
right?
we always meet at Hooters. Spike, you know Lynn, you know, great,
love her.
Yeah,
love
absolutely
her.
Fantastic. I'll sit down and over the course of lunch. I'll ask her questions and, you know, she'll be eating and she'll be talking and then I'll do follow-up questions, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I then take that audio and then I go home and because I want it to be in her words, I'm a darker writer than her story
uh-huh.
requires. So it's 80% her. What I'd like to say is she's giving me snapshots of moments in her life and I'm just providing a frame.
Mm-hmm.
And by frame, I mean the words that go around it that say, and then she said this. But what I'm finding is that a lot of it is kind of recanting. I mean, her saying, well, I went into the Playboy Mansion and then I was approached by Tom Selleck. He had this, and I'm trying to make it humorous.
Mm-hmm.
But in a situation like that, wouldn't you write more detail than movie-like, or am I wrong?
Well, so the first thing is that these are two different things. So, like, you're doing ghostwriting, which is different than, I'm not sure about your book, if you wrote it yourself or if you're writing it for
someone else. You wrote your sections yourself.
We wrote, yes, with a composer, not a ghostwriter, but I say composer with sort of some help in the sense of the composition. It was almost like an extreme editor, right? Uh-huh. That helped us sort of stimulate ideas and gave us some suggestions. Not a publisher. Which is a question I have about publishing. And I don't know, do you own your own publishing company?
I do.
Do you think that in this day and age with everything that is co-publishing or self-publishing becoming more popular?
Well, so there's...
Or more access, I guess?
There's three different types of publishing, the traditional, indie, and then self-publishing. So I'm an indie publisher. I'm in the middle. I'm like kind of the best of both worlds of traditional versus self-publishing, because self-publishing is very, you know, popular, and a lot of people are going that route if they can't get picked up by an indie or a traditional publisher. However, when you self-publish, you have to know all the design stuff. Like, this is like my second book I published.
Right.
Now, my degree is in graphic design, so I did everything myself, but I designed the cover. I did the layout. I worked in the copy and print industry for like, you know, 4 or 5 years in the Silicon Valley. I had all that expertise and experience. Plus, I'm really good at marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you self-publish, you're either going to have to hire the people to come in and do this professionally, or you're going to have to do it yourself. And sometimes, you know, that's the cool thing with an indie publisher like me. I have a team, and I have all my experts under my umbrella. So when you deal with me, you're dealing with me.
Right.
You don't have to go out and hire all those people.
I guess by self-publishing, the way that I think we're going to go is, instead of, you know, I guess a publisher would give you an advance and so on and so forth.
No. Only a traditional advance. And you may have to pay that back.
You're right. Boy, it's recoupable. It's the same thing as the music business, which,
right.
You know, going through this path, I've found a lot of similarities, because a lot of people are self-producing and self-distributing books, I mean music, because the access is so easy, but they still need to market. They still need to distribute. They still need graphics and, you know, everything else involved. So they hire companies that sort of specialize in that. And that is that what indie publishing is, where they take... No?
Okay, so, all right, traditional is the old school way, you know, of like...
You write a manuscript, send it out to publishers. One says, hey, I like this, we'll sign you.
Exactly, and then you may get an advancement.
Right.
And then they take 90% of the royalties, because they're the ones marketing and pushing and, you know, trying to get a New York Times bestseller, doing all that kind of stuff. So they're taking the majority of your money, and only about 1% of those books actually hit.
Right.
And become, you know, like J.K. Rowling, right, or Stephen King. And the traditional publishing is banking on that one book to pay for all the other ones that are crap.
Music, right, business.
Yeah, right. You're looking for that big artist that'll pay for all of
the
minor.
Throw a big cast net out there, yeah, and hopefully when you reel it up, there'll be one fish in,
yeah,
there.
Exactly. So that's why they take 90% of the royalties, because they're taking on all the financial risk. But also with that, they also buy the rights to all your content too. So basically, they have control over everything. And
So that'd be like the masters in music. Does it go back to the writer at a certain amount of time, or is it in perpetuity?
Well, it would have to do with your contract, mm-hmm, and, you know, how they... I think the traditional ones are kind of lightening up a little bit because of the self-publishing,
right,
that's come around. But from what I know, and this is just horror stories that I've heard from other authors now,
right,
that I've been in the business for a while, that they would take their concept, you know, change the cover, rip out the inside, completely redo it. It's not even the author's book anymore, but obviously the publishing house is trying to make something marketable so that people,
right,
will buy it.
Wow.
But
would they even be able to sell the movie rights without the... anything from...
It could be. I mean, yeah, when they have 100% control, they can kind of do whatever. You know, just like you've heard of artists, you know, who get ripped off and then they make no money on the songs that they created because,
right, right,
of the contract with the right label.
And that's why I like her. She has done, and I know, and she has gone the route of, I mean, I wrote the thing, and I don't want to, anything else aside about the book, I don't want to do. Because that's not my passion. It's not my... When I wrote the book, and this might be short-sighted of me, and maybe Tara can tell you, I had written screenplays for so long with varying degrees of success. But it was okay, because I did love it. The one thing that I hated about screenplays is, and writing scripts is, you write a script, you can spend 3 months, 6 months, a year on a script, sometimes maybe two, and you complete it, and it's not done. It's not done until there are 50 other people involved in it. It doesn't reach its completion until it's a movie. And that's a lot of other people going in and saying, I don't like this, I don't like it. So what compelled me, and I'd always wanted to write a book, but I had been so distracted by screenplays, what compelled me to finally sit down and write the book, and it took me the better part of 2 years, was that I was just tired of it. And I just wanted to write something, and I wanted to write it in the way that I wanted to write it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to write it with as many scenes as I wanted. And I didn't want somebody to tell me, oh, we like this great idea about this doctor that is given 9 lives and he has a limited amount of time to get back home before he dies in various ways. And I don't want some jackass telling me, hey, what if a piano falls? I don't want people interjecting into my story. And that's not the story I wrote, obviously. Yeah. But it was just, I wrote it. It was, I said the end, and it was done. And the accomplishment to me was that I didn't write that book to make money. If we make money, that's going to be great. If there is an option on it, that'd be fantastic. But the joy of it to me was just the completion of it, which is why all of the stuff you do for me, I'm glad, because I have no interest in that, because yeah. I'm already fulfilled. I wrote a book, and it's a damn good book, in my estimation.
And that's kind of like where indie comes in, like me, is we're almost kind of like the Burger King of like publishers, because, you know, you are paying me for my services to help you edit, write, publish, market, all that. So we work together to make it into something that you're proud of. I don't want my authors to be like, yeah, they ripped this apart and I don't like this book.
By paying you, without getting too far into your deals, but is it through sales of the book or is it up front?
No, well, so it's up front. We have different publishing packages based on how much help you need. Like I said, you know, we do ghostwriting like you're doing for that lady.
Right. So now, you say ghostwriting, but if you're writing the biography, my name will be on the cover. That's not. I thought ghostwriting was when your name was not on the cover.
It depends. I mean, you don't have to put your name on the cover.
Oh, yes, I do.
Well, no, some writers don't.
I'm not deaf.
You think Hillary Clinton wrote her book?
No, my name's going on the cover.
She paid somebody about $300,000 to write that book.
Right. I want to apologize if you guys already covered this. What you keep saying, traditional, indie, and self, in 10 seconds, 15 words or less, what's the difference between a traditional indie and a self?
So the traditional is what we were talking about before. We get the advance. They take 90%. Right.
You send
blah,
it
blah,
off
blah.
To a publisher, and they say, yeah, we'll publish this.
That's a traditional.
Right.
So that's traditional. Then to go to self-publishing is where you do everything yourself.
You pay for, you
writing,
go online.
Editing,
yeah.
Formatting, designing, distribution, sales, pushing. You do everything yourself. So I'm like a mix in the middle. So that's why, like, for our packages, it is you do have to pay for our services.
Right.
Because we will format it, we will edit it, sometimes we will write it. We have ghostwriting services, so some of our books we write for our authors. We design the cover, we put it on distribution channels, we push it to get into bookstores, into libraries, into academic institutions.
But like you say, it can, that price varies, Ben, because I came in with the second, mine was formatted, had already been formatted in its first edition, I had a cover, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, my expenditure was drastically different from what somebody coming in completely brand new would be.
And your needs were more on the marketing side or the back end?
I needed to publish.
She
published
to republish it. Yeah. Like, when you get into the intricate details of publishing, unfortunately, like I said, a lot of publishers rip off their authors, take all their money.
I never saw a dime from
when
the
you,
first
just
edition.
For the layman, I guess, including myself here, when you're saying you needed publishing, I'm thinking that you needed somebody to print the books, or
no.
Is there, okay? So what does it mean to be a he needed publishing?
Okay, so and this is a really in-depth conversation, so it's hard to get all the information quickly. But okay, so basically, this book, you could go to a printer and just have copies printed off. I mean, like, here's my book, $20. That does not make you a published author.
Right.
In order to be published, it has to be on distribution channels all over the world, on like Amazon.com, Barnes and Noble, Books a Million.
You have to have
Kindle,
an ISBN,
and yeah, you
buy copyright,
the ISBN, the copyright. Yeah. And so basically, if you go on Amazon.com and look up Mo's book, it says Publisher Richer Publishing LLC. So now I am the publisher on record of his book, which gives it the status up here.
Status, man.
Yeah, it is about status because, unfortunately, when you're pushing this book, Barnes & Noble will not take self-published authors. So if it says Create Space on it, or if it says like Ingram Sparks or whatever, that's a self-publishing platform. And I'm not saying there's anything against it at all. I used it in the beginning for myself. However, you can't get into Barnes & Noble with it. You can't get into a lot of independent bookstores. You can't. Libraries don't want self-published books because there's a stigma around it that anybody can just put crap out there.
Right.
And I've seen some really crappy done self-published books. Right. And unfortunately, what happens, that discredits you. You know, if you don't know how to design and your cover's pixelated.
Right.
You
right.
know?
Right.
Or you look at the inside and you're like, who in the world formatted this? You're a five-year-old kid.
What about a company that provides provides publishing services?
There are companies out there, and we have some a la carte packages.
Right.
We don't normally do it, but like I have on, you know, request been like, you know, how much just to do the cover? How much just to format the inside?
But would that be considered then a publisher?
No, because then you would give me your manuscript, say for $500, I would format it to whatever, 6x9, 8x5, tables, contents, you know, headers, footers, and then I would give it back to you, and then you're the one that uploads and then goes through the system to self-publish yourself. So we'll do bits and pieces sometimes, but then it's still up to you to handle the marketing and the distribution.
Right.
So
the main big part of being published is distribution, would you say?
Well, it's all of it. You're having an expert in the industry that knows what they're doing, the formatting, the cover, distribution, the publishing, the printing of the books. You know, that's just one aspect
right.
of it, the printing of the physical books. So because when it's on distribution channels, everything right now is print on demand, which is really cool.
Right.
You don't have to buy 20,000 copies mm-hmm. of your book and store it in a warehouse.
Right.
Because guess what? You may find a typo and be like, oh my goodness, we forgot a period.
Right.
We can go back, change that, re-upload in 24 hours. Everything's fits across the channel.
I think the way that she does it is, like she said, she shares the best of both worlds of traditional and self-publishing, which is why when we're done. Now, let's I got to bring in Dina. Let's talk one more time about the Authors Gala. Which
oh, yeah.
Is,
October 19th.
I'd like to see you out there with me, Ben, showing the brother a little support.
Support.
Support. It's right in your neighborhood. When is the Authors Gala?
It's coming up Thursday from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. We have 20 local authors that you can purchase their works. We're going to give away awards, have drinks, music. We're going to do some fun contests to give away some prizes and stuff. So,
is it an open bar?
It's a cash bar. I can't afford alcohol for like 200 people.
Listen. Do the writers get to drink for free?
No, I don't even get to drink for
winners.
Free.
No,
it is my event.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Spike. That's a great question. Let me ask you something. Do the winning authors get to drink for free?
Do I get to drink for free?
Tara?
I'll sneak in a bottle of vodka. Right, I don't know. What do you drink?
Just give me a beer. Just give me a PBR. Can a brother get a free Pabst?
I don't know if we'll have that. I don't know.
Oh, excuse me.
No, it is. It's
all
a cash
hoity,
bar.
It's all hoity-toity.
No,
all right.
I did open bar the last 2 years, and that really, that cut in my
okay,
budget.
Let me ask something. Can you give me a, should I prepare a speech?
I think everyone should prepare a speech.
I don't like to hear that.
Nice.
I don't like to. No, that's not nice, Mike. That's not nice, Mike. I'm gonna ask you again. Should I specifically
prepare
a speech? I should prepare. Should I prepare multiple speeches? Should I bring a wardrobe change?
Ask her, should you prepare a suite for what category?
Yeah. All categories, Mike. All categories. All right.
All of them. All
I will
six.
Be pushing it. It's going to be a fun event.
It
is actually going to be a
it's
fun
really
event.
Fun.
And more importantly, if you're interested in publishing or writing a book and you have questions or you have a manuscript already, I'm telling you right now, Richter Publishing, they're good. They're good people. So, you know, seek me out or just go to RichterPublishing.com. All right, Tara, I will see you on my multiple award-winning night next Thursday, all right?
Sounds
good. What you doing today in that pretty dress?
Oh, you know, I'm going to go hang out with some friends.
Oh, okay. You do a lot of hanging out, don't you?
I do. Well, you
loving
know,
that
you
single life,
hard,
right?
Work hard, play hard.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, liking that single life, are you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm dating. But,
who you dating?
Just a guy.
What's his name?
Unicorn man.
You know what? A unicorn man.
Unicorn.
Yeah, where you meet him at? Oh, you ain't run this fella through me.
Well, the Jelly Bean Garden.
No, I actually met him, because this is my second book, To Enroll to Survive the Internet Dating Jungle. I actually met him on, OkCupid?
OkCupid. All right. Well, what's a good-looking girl like you need to be online for?
You know, it's really difficult, I'll be honest with you. Like, the more successful you are in business, the harder it is to meet someone to date. Because it's more like everything's like a business, partnership, relationship.
Right.
And it's really difficult, I think. The more success I've had, the harder it is to find a relationship.
Is he a writer?
No.
No? What's he do?
No, he's a business owner.
Oh, business owner.
So he has
Look
his
at
own
you.
Business.
Very nice. How long you been dating?
Not that long.
Well, it's not that long.
It's new.
How new? I'm writing a book.
Do you have a
Shut
toothbrush
up,
in his house?
Nope.
No toothbrush. Well, how long have you been dating?
Oh, just like a few weeks. A
few weeks. Oh, so he ain't even. He ain't even. Oh, so he hit it. He hit it yet? Yeah.
I'm not able to disclose that information.
That would be
at
a yes.
Yeah.
That would be
a
yes.
Nice dress.
You know what I'm, that's why you're in a nice dress. Yeah, look at you, girl. All right, good for you.
But,
Having the sex you deserve. All right, listen, we'll be back. I got Dina Athanasi up next talking about strides for strays. Coming up, don't go anywhere. Cat Named Mo Show.
The Cat Named Mo Show on 102.5 The Bone. Real, raw, radio. Remember when MJ and BJ were cool? Neither do we. The Mike Calta Show. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 102.5 The Bone. Real. Raw. Radio.
It wasn't easy starting my own business. But when it came to my internet and phone service, Spectrum Business was a no-brainer.
That's because Spectrum Business delivers the fastest internet starting speeds for less. 100 megs for just $44.99 a month when bundled. Call 844-65-